When it comes to raising the debt ceiling and lowering the deficit, the folks in Washington still haven't found common ground.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama will convene yet another meeting today at the White House. He's trying to hammer out a deal to raise the nation's debt limit with Republican leaders from the House and Senate. Now, the two sides have just a couple of weeks, by August 2nd, to get it done, or the nation will technically default on its debt and won't be able to pay back some of the bills. Marketplace's David Gura is live with us now from Washington to give us a bit of a refresher on this story. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
We've been talking about this debt ceiling for months now. Why August 2nd? Why is that the deadline? What happens on that day?
Yeah, well, on that date, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says the government won't be able to pay back what it owes. We borrowed a lot of money for highways, for Medicare, for the wars we're fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now, well, we've got bills to pay. I talked to Scott Brown. He's the chief economist with Raymond James.
Simply put, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, then the government can't spend the money. It has to make choices as to what it's going to cut, what it's not going to pay.
In other words, if Congress doesn't raise the debt limit, we'll default on what we owe.
Is this a hard deadline, David, or do we have some wiggle room here?
Well, if nothing happens by August 2nd, the government will face some tough choices. Does it cut Social Security checks? Does it pay interest on Treasury bonds? Now, this deadline's been pushed back a couple of times now, and at this point, Scott Brown told me, he doesn't think there's much flexibility left.
The longer this goes on, the more the financial markets are going to express anxiety about the situation. And it's not something I think the markets want to deal with.
Foreign investors might go elsewhere, Brown said. Interest rates would go up. If Congress and the White House can't come to an agreement soon, there are apparently some contingency plans. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he has one, Steve, but right now we have no idea what's in it.
All right. Marketplace's David Gura reporting from Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, some have said a debt default could send us right back to a financial crisis. And the one we had just a couple of years ago cost the Treasury more money in bailouts than most of us probably realized. But Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan says the government is making a little money on it. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
When you say bailout, Alan, how much money are you really talking about?
$14 trillion and change.
Now, $14 trillion is a lot of money, Alan. Did the government go in thinking there would not be a profit from any of that?
Yeah, the government went in expecting to lose hundreds of billions on the bailout, and they did the bailout in order to keep the U.S. economy and world economy from collapsing. And now, because the government's gotten lucky and things are better, the bailout is going to show an actual living profit, as I define profit and as I define the bailout.
All right. So define profit. What would a profit be?
Based on the numbers we have, between $40 billion and $100 billion, which to me is actual real money.
That's a chunk of change. Absolutely. So where is that money going to go, Alan?
Well, a lot of it has already gone to the U.S. Treasury. What it's done is reduce the deficit and reduce the government's need to borrow. And more money's going to go in this year and next, a lot more, I think.
All right, going to the Treasury. But what about the taxpayers? I mean, we always hear about the taxpayers getting paid back. Are we, Alan, the taxpayers, going to see any of this money?
Well, no one's going to write a check to Chiotakis for, you know, $12 or whatever your share of this is.
$14.08.
Well, okay then. But when they said the taxpayers were bailing people out, they didn't come to you and ask for money. They went to the Treasury.
Speaking of the Treasury, Alan, why isn't the Treasury trumpeting this news all over them? Why aren't they just bragging about, look what we did?
My guess is somebody, probably in the White House, has decided this is all toxic, so we don't want to talk about it, because anytime we mention the bailout, it'll cause endless problems. The Treasury, in fact, has a set of numbers that are different than mine, but along similar lines, and unless you go and extract it with a pair of pliers, you don't know it exists.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down 0.5% or more. Fears about debt spreading to Italy have global investors a little nervous. Italy's the third largest economy in the Eurozone, but has the second highest debt-to-GDP ratio after Greece. Wall Street Friday, the Dow gave back 62 points to end the week at 12,657.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success on the web at farmers.com.
In Australia today, Qantas Airlines said a proposed carbon tax there to reduce emissions would result in higher airfares. The plan would be one of the most ambitious carbon plans outside the European Union. But as reporter Stuart Cohen tells us from Sydney, there's a lot of debate about the economic costs.
Australia's carbon tax proposal will put a price on greenhouse gas emissions. Big polluters will have to pay nearly $25 per metric ton on emissions. The country's biggest power plant puts out around 40,000 tons a day. Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
As a nation, we need to put a price on carbon and create a clean energy future. At the moment, those big polluters can release that pollution into our atmosphere for free.
Food and gas prices are expected to rise as a result, and critics say the carbon tax will slow the Australian economy. But to make up for it, the Prime Minister is offering a raft of tax breaks to the public. It's being called the largest overhaul of Australia's tax system in decades. After 3 years, the tax will transition to a cap-and-trade system, similar to one debated by the U.S. Congress last year. Opponents say Australia shouldn't be taking on such a costly endeavor when the world's biggest polluters, the U.S. and China, are currently unwilling to cap their greenhouse gas emissions. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And finally, today we welcome the world's newest stock exchange into the global financial fold, the Cambodian Exchange, long delayed since it was announced way back in 2007. Unfortunately, we can't tell you how stocks did on their first day because as of right now, there are no companies listed on the Cambodian Exchange. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah,
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store. This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too. What's your make? What's that? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me. Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.